Hi, everybody. We are back at Sunday night's first call. I'm Tom Sosnoff here with Victor Jones. Mr. Jones, how art thou?
Tom, I'm doing terrific. Tasty Nation, how are you? Welcome, everybody. Come on in. The water's fine. Hit the like button and tell us where you're joining from in the chat. I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Well, it rained here today, so it forced me to go to breakfast at 6:30 in the morning instead of play golf. It's not a major problem. I got over it.
The last time I saw you, you had just played a round of golf and you were limping around. You had one bad leg. Maybe it's a good thing.
So I'm not limping today.
You got two good legs.
I got two
good legs.
Glass
half full.
Yeah. Glass half full. You're right. So kind of a crappy day here in Chicago, but I'm getting actually ready for last week. Was a pretty busy week. You know, all things considered, you throw earnings in there, a couple big moves in the markets, some pretty wild, first a huge down move on Thursday, then a huge up move on Friday. I'm ready. We got more to come this week. I don't think it'll be anything like last week, but I'm ready.
This is a gigantic week. What more could you ask for? You got earnings again with more big tech, with Amazon, AMD. What am I missing? There's another big one out there.
Apple. Yeah, but this week they're all going to miss. See, last week they all hit it. This week they're all going to miss.
Is that how it works? Like,
yeah. It's red, black. Yeah. It took me a long time to figure it out.
Plus, you get the jobs report, you get FOMC, a little something for everybody this week.
Well, I'm locked and loaded long bonds, so that's my play for the week. But you know, it's funny, the earnings plays from a trading standpoint, from a premium seller like I am, every single one has sucked. Like not a single. The first one that came out, Netflix, was the only one that worked. Everything else has been a loser. So that's if you sell delta neutral. If you play them directionally, then you know, then you just roll the dice. But the delta neutral, the expected move place, every earnings has been outside the expected move, every major earnings. So they have not paid off. So this week, when you say earnings, you know, you can name a couple of stocks. I'm not going to play them. I'm not going to play them non-directionally because it just hasn't worked.
Okay. So you're coming over to my side this week. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I'm going to the dark side. I'm going to the directional side. And I'm a little bit bearish this week. So I'm thinking I can't play Apple to the downside because it hasn't had an uptick. But actually the stocks you mentioned, AMD and Apple, have both been pretty much slaughtered. And the only stock that's up in that group is Amazon, which has had a massive move.
Yeah, they gave the dogs, I call them the dogs, but they gave the dogs some love last week. Some of my China stocks rallied.
Yeah, they gave the China Tesla. Stocks a little. Yeah.
They liked Tesla last week. They loved Newmont Mining. Do you got a little miner in your portfolio,
no.
Thomas?
No. I had a little Tesla, you know, that finally
worked. Little Google love?
No Google love. You know, like, it went outside the range for me. I'm pretty flat here tonight. Let's see where they're looking like. Actually, they're going to open up pretty in a couple seconds. Looks like they're going to open up about 10 handles, which is a pretty big up opening. It looks like the NASDAQ's going to open up too. It looks like the S&Ps are set to open up almost 10 handles tonight. It looks like the NASDAQ's set to open up maybe about 10 or 15, 15 or 20 handles. So let's see. Which is a pretty big up opening considering how much they were up on Friday.
VIX at 15 or 15 and change. I know you like to look at the futures contract.
Yeah, they've just obliterated. They've absolutely obliterated vol in the last
a week straight, maybe with one notable exception, a week straight of vol.
Yeah, and we had an 80-point down. We had a 70-point down opening on Thursday, and they just crushed vol last week. They absolutely just destroyed it. S&P's opened up 850. NASDAQ opened up about 25. Now it's up 20. And let's see where bonds up 3 ticks, which is no big deal because that's kind of where they were trading all day Friday. Bonds actually didn't move at all Friday. Friday
Russell
was
up a
yeah. Go ahead.
Russell up a quarter of a percent, the leader out of the gate here.
I mean,
what's your deal with bonds, man? Why the conviction?
I don't have a conviction like the, you know, like macro conviction. I'm strictly I'm playing the contrarian. You know, I never thought they would get into the 112 handle. Our own wonderful Pete Momat did on last Sunday night show think they would trade down into the 112s. I didn't think they would get there, but I actually traded them pretty good, and we kind of bought some, you know, down around 113 and sold some around 114. So I'm pretty good shape in there. I'm just still long them here. I need a little more. I need another point up to 115 would be nice.
If I'm not mistaken, he called it right. 2 weeks in a row, he's been short bonds.
Yes, he did. He did. I mean, I hate to give him credit like he knew something, but he did call it right. You know, there were some of the other ones of us that did not get that right. But it wasn't that, you know, it didn't hurt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
There was no
crude
pain.
Oil down 0.5%.
Crude oil?
Yeah, down 0.5%. You got anything on in crude? I
don't just think some short. Anything. Just short strangles. And actually, I take it back. We covered them on Friday. They were, it was 21 DT or something. So we just took them off. I didn't get filled on reloading yet. I will reload because I always keep a crude oil position on almost always. So I will reload depending on where vol is, you know, tomorrow or something. But my commodity positions here are pretty damn small. It's really just I'm long Russell, short S&Ps, and I'm just naked long bonds, and that's it.
This is one of the first Sundays I can remember where the metals are actually fairly quiet. Like gold's not doing much, silver's down about 0.5%, and copper up 0.5%. But that's mild relative to what they've been doing every Sunday when we get back in here.
The CME effectively killed gold and silver. They did a really good job
when they raised their
requirements. When they raised the overnight requirements, they essentially killed both products because they took and they knew that going in. They do it on purpose. They just take, you know, all the clearing risk out of it. But essentially, anytime you raise the requirements, you essentially shut down all the, you know, all the troublemakers. And that's all they did.
They got tired of us squawking about gold on these Sunday night shows. Yeah. They shut us
no,
down.
They're very skilled at only raising the requirements when they want to bleed the noise. And that's exactly what they did. They just wanted to stop the noise, you know, and shut down the volatility. So they raised the requirements and they shut down the volatility almost overnight. So yeah, they killed gold and silver. The game in there is dead for a while. I think it's dead for a while. I think the game's going back to being at these levels. You know, I think it's an S&P game. And if you were reading a lot of the stuff all week, I've never read so many bearish lead stories on the market. And you read this stuff and you think to yourself, oh my God, I won't even have a chance to sell them on Monday. And then on Sunday night, everything opens up and you're like, yeah, why do I even read that stuff? Like, why do I read anything? Like, I know it doesn't matter. I know nobody knows anything. Like, why?
What algorithm were you trapped in this weekend?
Oh, you mean TikTok algorithm?
Yeah. Maybe I wasn't in the same doom loop that you were in.
Oh, I was in a couple of, actually my two weekend algorithms that I got pegged on TikTok were the puppy killing Christy Gnome and the NFL draft, the Bears. Oh, yeah. Blew up my TikTok, nonstop, you know, it was kind of funny, but
good pick in your opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
You excited? Like
yeah. Yep.
Like all right, Bitcoin 63.6 down $200 or
nothing,
so.
Nothing. Bitcoin's been.
It's Bitcoin. Weird, right?
It's a little. It feels. It just feels a little like they took a little wind out here. You know, like it's in no man's land at 64,000, 63,000, wherever the futures are 64,000, the cash 63, whatever. It feels like no man's land.
Yeah, ever since March, you've been at 65, give or take $5,000.
Yeah.
And there's been some decent swings if you're trading this thing one way or the other. I mean, $5,000 swings aren't, you know, they're not nothing. But, you know, all intents and purposes, this thing's trade sideways for 2 months.
Well, surprisingly, because I don't really follow how our customers trade Bitcoin and ETH, because it's not a big follow for me. You know, like I'm not, you know, we don't really track what our customers are doing in there. But on a daily volume basis last week, they were really active. Like Tasty Traders were really active trading Bitcoin and ETH. Like our volumes were up in there, which was surprising to me because I didn't really feel like anything was happening. So I think it was more of just you know, I think when people get into trade mode, they just trade anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it matters what you're trading, which is good. I just think you go into trade mode.
So if you're trading these things directionally, can I do a quick fire at you?
Yeah, fire.
All right, let's look at Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon 179.62, up, down.
Well, at this level here, the risk in Amazon is to the downside.
I think so too. But their binary events are always impossible to trade. You know, they'll miss earnings by billions of dollars because Jeff Bezos, you know, went crazy and built a bunch of warehouses and nobody could really model it. They miss by billions of dollars and the stock rallies 10%. Like this.
Yeah, because it just depends what they, you know, what stories they're going to make up about the next quarter. Yeah. Yeah. That's why earnings are, you know, a real crapshoot. I want to sell something outside the range. Nothing has really worked. So you got to play a little bit directionally. I don't know what I'm going to do. In Amazon, I'm probably going to be net short calls on balance. And in Apple and AMD, I'll probably be net short puts on balance.
Yeah, AMD is a little bit more interesting because it's mid-range.
It's had a huge sell-off, but it's bounced back a little bit the last couple of days. You know, AMD's, it depends what the expected move is. The expected moves have been so tight and there's been no like outside premium because, you know, you catch all these earnings on a week where they kill vol and you're almost a dead man walking. Mm-hmm. If you catch earnings on a week where vol's expanding, like the week before when Netflix came out, you get the best of all worlds. You get expanding vol and you get pumped up earnings, you know, vol. And then when you get it on a declining week, like last week, everything's a loser. So I really have to see. The nice thing is that you said, what, you have unemployment on Friday?
Yep.
And you have Apple earnings on Thursday night, I think?
Yep.
So you're not going to get any kind of a vol contraction on Thursday.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not sure when Apple and Amazon are. I thought they were like Wednesday or Thursday or something like that. I don't know. But
could you make that case all week? Because then you got Amazon Tuesday, then Wednesday you got FOMC and a bunch of other reports, then Thursday you got Apple, then Friday you've got the unemployment report. You can make a case of sticky ball all week, no?
Well, I don't think the FOMC, based on what I've seen so far, I don't think the FOMC moves S&P vol, but it will move bond vol. And bond vol actually came down a little bit last week, so I would like to see bond vol expand this week and, you know, put some things on the board for us to do. That'd be nice.
How excited are you for the jobs report on Friday?
Less excited than you.
Fair enough. All right, let's go.
No, I'm going to bring.
I was just going to say there's so many conspiracy theories, like the job claims. You know, they've been almost the exact same number every week at 212,000. So people are starting to scratching their head, like, how's that possible? Then all these revisions in the Friday, or excuse me, in the monthly jobs report as well. You know, people starting to doubt these numbers a little bit, Thomas.
Listen, I don't know why conspiracy theories
out there.
I don't know why you would believe it's anything but that. I don't know why you believe it's anything but, hey, you know, like, it's like, hey, Jimmy, pick a number. How about pick a number between 200 and 215. How about 212? We used that last month. Use it again. Who cares? And then we'll just revise it later. That's how it happens. You know, there's nothing else to it. That's why you can't pay attention. Hey, Pete Molnat, bring him in.
Pete Molnat's here. Mr. Sazda, Mr. Jones, how are you, guys?
Pete, you know that's how they do it, right? They just pick a number out of a draw and they just say, okay.
And they do that because they can go back and revise it four more times.
Exactly.
So that's the amazing thing, especially with backwards looking numbers like non-farm payrolls. If we get like 300K on Friday, Vic, we'll see bonds down, equities will trade down. You'll see the dollar get stronger. Where it ends up, none of us know. But that 300K number the market reacted to is going to get readjusted next month, the following month, and the following month after that for 4 months. And what you're going to end up looking at is a number that could be 110,000. And you're like, what? Wait, what happened to the 300 that everybody was lighting their hair on fire with that they're never going to cut rates again? So I just think, you know what? Non-farm payrolls is great because it gives you movement. If you're looking for extremes, if you want to take advantage of price action, that's what it's useful for, as a predictor as to where the economy is going or where I think SPOOS or NASDAQ will end up that week or the next. I have a real tough time with that.
How are you thinking about risk assets going into the week here, Pete?
Boy, you know, I don't know, lots of earnings. All the, you know, I think they really punched yen to new 35-year lows Friday, right at the close, like 3:30 in the afternoon our time. They traded down another 30 points of vacuum. And we
did you think
up,
that was like they were blowing somebody out?
Absolutely, they were. Because a relentless last hour. It's like, this made no sense. All the little, you know, basically, there's most of the banks are done at that point.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be loading up.
They're not, there's no way you're coming in on a Friday afternoon, you know, taking out the book on the downside.
Right.
There's no freaking way. That was some clearing firm blowing out some huge trader or trading firm. And they were, you know, that was all that was left on a Friday afternoon.
Right.
And I was watching it, but I wasn't. Like, I wasn't going to step in and buy anything. But I was like, this is garbage.
Yeah, no, because the problem is on those Friday moves, one out of five or four times, it does become your problem then when they gap 40 or 50 points lower than that. So, it's when do you want the problem? But, you know, I think we've had, 46% of S&P 500 stocks have reported and vastly outperformed. 76% outperformed EPS wise, 60% outperformed via revenue. I think we're at this point where right now the market's pricing in, I think I looked at Fed Funds futures, 36 basis points of cuts to the balance of the year.
That cracks me up because I don't know where they're getting those numbers from. That's crazy optimistic.
And that's where we're swinging on the side of it being, I think, too optimistic in terms of, I mean, the Fed's, it'll be interesting if the Fed adjusts at all. The only thing coming out of, I think it's Wednesday, is it Wednesday's meeting? They have a one-day meeting, I think. Wednesday's meeting will be whether or not they still have three cuts priced into their model, their dot plot stuff. So whether or not they change that. I think we're at this inflection point now where you've got an awful lot of good news that has been baked into earnings and the markets. This rally in NASDAQ's been substantial. SPOOS up another percent on the end of the day on Friday. I'm thinking that it's going to be interesting to see how things like Apple, things like Amazon, things like AMD perform earnings-wise. But I think we're probably at a point now where I would think any decent rally in SPOOS or NASDAQ that is driven by these earnings is something that's interesting to sell. We're back to,
you got that on Friday. I mean, listen, correct me if I'm wrong, Vic, but I think we traded down to like 40. I'm just going to the top of my head. I thought we traded down to like 49.60 or something, right?
Yeah. So we were sub 5,000, yeah.
Yeah, we're sub 5,000. We're 49.60. We're
49.63.
Back. Okay, perfect. So I was off by three. So 49.60, and now we're back to 51.30, right?
Right.
51.40. So you've basically retraced over 50%.
Right.
You know, for all you Fibonacci lovers out there, you're, you know, I'm not one, so don't throw me into that group, but I just love the old conversations. You're right at your 62% retracement, probably.
That's it.
See that? I know this stuff. I just don't.
He's got the 38 and 62. Yeah, that's right.
Just for fun.
You know, I mean, we've all been long one in one way or another with yen.
I'm still long yen.
Yeah, and
it's your fault, Pete. You got me long at 84.
Why every week does your cost basis rise imaginary?
Well, my cost basis
by a phantom 100 points. 2 weeks ago, I got you long at 80. Now it's 84.
Well, because I'm sure
next week it'll be I have him long at 100. I'm sure it'll be back at par.
So no, it was in the low 80s, but I've reduced my basis because it's been like a year and a half now.
Yeah. So
I've probably taken my basis down by at least 10, over 10 handles. So my basis is probably 72, 74 now. So I've been working my way down. In another year, I'll own the yen for free. I mean, I'll basically, in another year, I'll have my basis down to 62, you know, by the end, by 2025. And then it'll be all golden. But
I was going to say he's been reverse gamma scalping and he's adding that onto the basis, which is why it keeps going up every week.
I was going to say.
No. You'd be surprised. I don't scalp in the end. All I do is sell puts and roll them every single month.
I'm a long-term investor in Japanese yen.
I am, but I just do it via put. So I collect, you know, the average we collect every month is about 300 to 400 basis points. I don't know. So that's it. So
at some point, if the yen goes down to 50, it's free. So that's perfect.
Yeah,
somebody in the chat said this move
is working out perfectly for you.
Yeah, we do now. We make it up in volume. We make it up in rolls.
I mean,
every once in a while, it's supposed to go your way. It hasn't. But
Vic, what do you think? Gold, $2,350. I mean, yeah, we're off the $2,460. The spike.
I wouldn't buy it with your money.
I'm still short. I've got some put spreads on. I think if we get back to close to 2,200, I'd like to maybe go long again. But I'm still short. But I'm long the miners. So Newmont had a sick week last week, and then I think Barrick Gold, so GOLD, has earnings this week, but it had a bit of a tailwind on Newmont's report last week. But
yeah, but if you had your choice, Vic, and you could buy gold here, or gold or silver, I don't really care, or you could buy Bitcoin or ETH, I'd much rather buy Bitcoin or ETH than gold or silver here.
What's my time frame? I'm going to get in trouble with this question.
Well, that's a fair question. Gold and silver are like Bitcoin and ETH. And like for me, because you're like, well, if I could get a 2250, well, if I could get, you know, Bitcoin in the 50s, you know, I like Bitcoin and ETH better than I like gold and silver. Way better.
I'd rather have some, give me that gold, baby. I need to put my hands on my money. Let me put my hands on it.
He wants to hold the bars.
Let me tell you something. There is nothing sexy about holding bars of gold or silver. They are heavy. They weigh a lot.
You almost killed a kid getting a bar.
I know. They're heavy. They weigh a lot. You have nowhere to put them. And you'll never, ever sell them because you get ripped off.
Right. Okay. Go say that in India or across Asia. Okay. It's a very, very popular asset. Yeah. You've been right about bonds for 2 weeks in a row, Pete. I'm curious, what do you think about both the short end and the long end going into this week?
You know what? We actually saw the 2 cents narrow with yields trading higher, which was
where's the 2-10 trading right now, Pete?
30 basis points.
Okay.
So we got, I think we talked about it when it was 42, 43. It had gotten all the way down to 20. Well, again, this is something that had been at 100 basis points. So that was then, this is now. So it's right around 30 basis points. So that's starting to normalize a little bit. And I keep an eye on that. I'm keeping a very small exposure of long twos, short tens, not a lot, because I do think that is going to be part of, if that continues to move down and actually normalizes, I think we see equities give back a fair amount of ground. I think that is probably the last cog to kind of come out that will give us a little bit of pullback in equities. And Vic, I couldn't agree with you more. It's interesting. Gold bounced back from the lows. We're $100 off the highs. Gold, silver got down to, I think, about sub 82. We're back up to 85 and a half, 86, which tells me that I think you're spot on. There's some downside left in this gold move here. So would I buy silver against it? Not right now, but I think because we're right in the middle of the range at 85.50. But I think that's telling me that balance, when it does come into line, it tends to come into line by not necessarily silver railing, but gold coming off. So I think we could probably see gold trade a little bit lower on this. Crude's a tough one. I have traded less crude in the last month than I probably have in the last couple of years.
There's nothing.
Yeah. Nat gas isn't particularly interesting right now either, too.
I think it's kind of interesting. I think Netcast is more interesting because it's on its butt.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny. You look and you've got the challenge now. The term structure is getting inverted. So every time you roll, you're rolling your cost basis up. It's kind of just a painful waiting. A painful waiting game right now. Yeah. Actually, what I think is cheap is Aussie. I think the China story, Vic, you mentioned Chinese stocks continuing up, down, didn't matter. And from a premium standpoint, Tom, you got me. It's slow motion selling puts here, and you're getting so close. But if you're willing to sell puts,
I'm short puts there. Yeah. I'm short the 64 and a half puts. We're up money on them, but that's it. It's the only thing that's worked in the currencies. Hey, Pete, we got to let you go. We got to go to Ilya.
You bet, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks. All right, let's bring in the Ilya.
Gentlemen.
Hello, Mr. Spivak. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
It's all good. How is it in San Fran today?
It's a beautiful day. It's been a little bit chilly but sunny, so it's like a crisp sunny. It's beautiful. Awesome.
That's perfect. So let's talk equity markets for a second. Victor's talked about earnings this week. He's talked about Fed, you know, everything else about economic numbers. Just based on the rally we've had back, which has been pretty significant off the lows in just a couple of days, that do anything for you?
No. I've reloaded my puts here.
You're staying short.
I'm staying short. Well, so what I did was it looked like it was bouncing at the beginning of last week. So I took off what I had and waited for a few days because I thought there was going to be a correction to reload. And at this point, I've reloaded on both. I reloaded on SPY on Tuesday. I reloaded on the Qs on Wednesday. And obviously, Thursday, Alphabet made me think I should have waited longer. But I thought the price action on Friday was really interesting because there was no follow through at all. The PCE number came out, gave everybody a little bit of a jolt. Then everything came back and closed almost unchanged. So the positive momentum that happened Thursday, there was really nothing on Friday that should have upset anyone because clearly the PCE number got digested without that much fire and fury. Like it dipped a little. It was a little hotter. Things dipped a little and then it was over.
I thought
there
was really
no
weird
upside follow through at all.
I thought it was really weird how the trading just died after about 10:30 in the morning. It just got
they just stopped.
Yeah.
And I was looking at this and going, yeah, there's not bullish conviction here. They got a little bit of an excuse with the Alphabet earnings. Market went down a lot the previous week. We've retraced maybe about 50% of it, give or take, maybe 60, depending on sort of what index you look at, more in NASDAQ, less in SPY. And so, okay, next week, there is every reason that this can find an excuse to go down again because I think the trend is ultimately down. So I'm holding him here.
What did you think about GDP last week? And then what are you looking forward to this week? What do you have your eyes on the most?
So I thought GDP was definitely the interesting one last week, and you could really see the impact. They're down to 28 basis points in cuts for the year. That's one cut and like an almost gratuitous sprinkling of something for maybe a second, but the likelihood is so low that it's not on the table. Before going into last week, because last week the Fed officials were on a blackout the week before a meeting, they didn't say anything. The week before that, Powell, a few of the others started to leak out there saying, look, we think we're going to have to acknowledge that the market is right, that this is, that we're not going to do these three cuts that we said in March, that it's going to have to be more hawkish because 3 points make a line. And we've just had three inflation reports that overshot. So I think that's the messaging on Wednesday. I don't think you're going to get a lot of movement ahead of that on Wednesday because I think people are going to look at the event risk as like a homing beacon and basically say, I'm not going to lean in one way or another until this is out of my way. And I think the messaging, if the Fed comes out and basically says, we still think we need to cut this year, but rates are going to be structurally higher than anyone thinks, then that's a little bit unnerving. But the real unnerving thing is if they create some two-way risk and basically say, look, we may well hike this year. We don't know. And if they create some optionality for themselves here, I think the market's going to go, oh boy, okay. And it's going to sell.
All right, real quick before Tom's eyes start to roll back in his head. On that GDP report, slowing growth, higher inflation, you're going to get the calls for stagflation. Do you think they were premature? Because you did see a lot of that floating around last week.
Of course they were premature. Of course they were premature. So I did this, I did a deep dive on this on macro money. We looked at GDP. The only reason that GDP was down as much was because net exports were down a lot. And that I was explaining this to people. I'm like, this is arithmetic. Net exports is exports minus imports. That number goes big negative when imports are up a lot. Is that a weak consumer? No. And consumption didn't really weaken that much. The economy is fine. Once you take out the weird kind of data anomalies out of it, the number was completely fine. So I don't think that there is really anything to have been worried about there. Stagflation is a very specific, awful thing. I don't think we're anywhere near that.
All right. What do you like this week in terms of deploying risk?
So I have my put spreads on SPYs and the Qs. I think the same kind of rebound that happened in stocks happened in currencies against the dollar. I booked that one as well. That was a nice little up move in the dollar until it stopped. And I booked it out of that one as well. I'm getting ready to reload here. So I'm looking to be short euro, short pounds, maybe short Aussie, although that one is tough because at this point, their hot inflation data has baked out all of their cuts for this year. So I'm kind of reluctant to short that one. But Aussie aside, euro, three cuts on the table, pound, at least two. So I think the yield spreads ultimately move in the dollar's favor there. And so I'm getting ready to reload on those. Not quite yet matured to my desire here, not quite cooked to where I want it, but close. And then I want to be long bonds, but I don't have a trigger yet. I'm looking for them to show me something that makes me want to actually do it.
So Tom, how are you leaning this week? Let's take us out.
How am I leaning this week? Delta wise, I'm pretty flat coming in tomorrow. My trouble spot on Friday was Nvidia because it was up like a billion. And that was painful. Up 50 was not in my game plan. But other than that, my positions are pretty good and they're pretty flat. I'm kind of leaning the same way. I'm staying long bonds. I'm long bonds. I'm long notes. I'm long Russell, short S&Ps. I'm long the yen. That's been a death trade. I'm also long the Aussie. That's been a good trade. But my yen position is like five times bigger. So it hasn't worked out. And then I covered a lot of my Chinese stocks last week because we had a huge rally. And like, you know, Baba's up to 75. It was trading under 70. Baidu's, you know, up over 100, it was significantly below that. And, you know, other stocks too, PDD, FXI, they all rallied. So we took some profits there. And then the rest of my positions, you know, we have a pretty big short position in Nvidia, and that's not.
I thought you abandoned that. I remember asking you, hey, when do you cut and run? And you were like, I'm done.
I did spread it off, but I left upside risk because I was convinced that there was no chance that they were going to go back to the upside. So that was a bad strategic play. I'm also short some like Ilya, I'm short the S&Ps and I'm short the NASDAQ. But I'm also short a lot of premium. So I kind of think it's the right play. But since Friday was 21 DTE, we rolled all our positions on Friday between Thursday and Friday. So I don't have any front month positions on right now. So my core portfolio is much smaller than it was just 2 days ago. Just because the roll, it takes about 30% of your risk off. So I'm risk off right now. So I'm looking to put positions on this week. And I think it's going to be a good week. You know, we traded a lot last week. So I think we'll end up trading a lot. Let me just see. I just got filled on something. Oh, some bonds. Just sold some bonds at 1403. I thought last week was really good trading week. So I think this week's a really good trading week. Like I care way more that it's a good trading week and we get like some, you know, I like two-sided trade. I like, you know, heavy activity. And that's what we saw all last week. That's usually good for, you know, for most tasty traders, and it's good for me.
I, like you guys, don't have a strong directional conviction. I think Ilya maybe does more so, but I'm net long deltas, but not by much. So, and I'm not skewed to one place. Maybe I'm a little bit more skewed towards like materials, so like gold and energy. You know, maybe that's where I'm at, but, and I'm a little bit tiny long bonds, but I'm scared to death because everybody and their mom says we're marching to 5% and higher, and the Fed just keeps, if they don't get off this cut kick, I'm terrified of that long bond position, but we'll see.
You know what? That's so funny you say that.
It's all talk this time, so depends how the market plays it.
The position I have no fear of at all is my bond position. Like I'm fearless in bonds. Like I feel like there's no risk. I feel like my other position.
I'm closing the position. I'm closing.
It's a good thing I haven't bought any yet. I'm gonna wait.
Vic, you could just buy them. Close your eyes. It's a risk. It's a riskless trade. It'd be the easiest money you ever made.
Famous last words. And on that.
That's good. That's a good one.
All right, everybody, hit the like button. If you're watching on demand, leave us a comment. Tell us what you think, how you're leaning into this week, and how you plan these earnings, specifically Amazon, AMD, Apple, and Coinbase. Those are the ones we're most interested in.
Oh, Coinbase will be interesting. I forgot about that. Coinbase will be cool.
Yeah.
All right, man. See you guys.
All right, gents. Peace, everybody.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing